Listen, I was listening to T.I. I guess he said something that he had him and 50 had already agreed to do the verses, and then T.I. was like 50 pulled out of it. And I, you know, I keep listen. I'm gonna be real adamant about this. I'm one of the South dudes who do like East Coast music. You know what I'm saying? I like some East
like
Coast.
What?
So I don't have a problem with East Coast music or New York rappers. But when I started hearing about the T.I. versus 50 thing, I was like, well, you know, oh dang, let me take this call. Y'all go ahead.
I don't know. So T.I. versus 50, right? Like, if we just talking albums, then 50 getting smoked.
Oh, but it's no question.
It's no question, bro. He won't stand a chance. In a 20-song versus, absolutely no way. Now, if he used the mixtape stuff, right?
Yeah.
Then he can hold his own better.
Mm-hmm.
But I still can't see it because Tip had a mean mixtape run too.
Yeah.
So if you look at you take mixtape Tip and album Tip, it just outweighed 50. Like, and I'm like, you ask, like, I'm a Southern. I think I spoke with us on the other not too long ago on the other show. But like all of us like that as far as when it comes to hip hop, like I aren't strictly regional. And I was a big 50 fan when he first started like bubbling up from like How to Rock. Like when he got dropped from Columbia after he got shot up and everything. So I've been listening to dude. And the truth about him ultimately is like he was like a what you call a shooting star. Like it burned bright, it came through. And he parlayed that shit into some other shit, like with the shows and all that. But musically, man, that shit, I'm just keeping it a bean, bro. A lot of this shit trash, dog.
Outside of Get Rich or Die Trying, like somebody was like, I guess they saying if he play that whole album, he gonna blow T.I. I'm like, well, y'all acting like T.I. ain't got albums to, like, he got albums, he got songs. The whole purpose of it was, I guess if they're gonna do 20 songs, and I'm like, okay, man, outside of Get Rich or Die Trying, what songs without his features on other artists' albums are he really gonna play? And I was like, well, yeah, nah. I know T.I. be 50, especially if it's albums, because Get Rich or Die Trying is one album. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
What's the other
Massacre? No,
Massacre,
I like way better. Most of Get Rich or Die Trying,
but
bro,
I still don't think it got the longevity.
I think that one to me, see, that's the thing. Yeah, Get Rich or Die Trying to me, it was a moment, and it's a classic for what it was in that moment. But most of that music don't age that well, though. Don't nobody really want to listen to in the club no more. Like that shit, like it just like when you hear dun, 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 it just don't slap like it used to.
Yeah, nah, it don't.
It feel old. It feel like it's out of place.
It didn't age good. Like,
didn't age
like
well
what
at
I tell
all,
people
man.
About music, like if how you characterize an artist, a good artist, a good MC is if their music ages good. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these rappers who drop classic or probably semi-classic albums back then, if you listen to the album now, you'll be like, dang, man, that music don't even sound good. Like,
don't sound right.
And look what happened with Dipset when against the Lox. They music aged horribly. And that's why the Lox killed them like that. Because it was like, they was playing their music and they were like, man, that don't even sound good. Like, towards what the Lox was playing. And that's what I'm telling people, like, man, I don't think 50 got it. He got enough to play 20 songs with T.I., you know?
Man, a lot of niggas going to have a hard time with T.I., man.
A lot.
Yeah.
It'd
be a lot of niggas,
and we
man.
Just talking, like, and we just talking, like, if T.I. wants to do 20 songs that he like, we ain't talk about the hit songs. Like, this is
right.
Hit songs.
Right. Like, he got more hits than 50. He has more like hits than 50. 50 had that minute. People, they just, and I credit him because he was able to stretch that minute, that 15 minutes into today. He's still relevant. Why is 50 still relevant? Because he's a fun fucking interview.
Yeah, right?
50 will say whatever, right? And he's a shrewd businessman. So that is why you still got 50 Cent on the scene. It is not about music. It ain't been about music.
And the people who he had backing him, like, it was a win-win situation. Like, you got Dr. Dre, Eminem, and we didn't even talk about Jimmy Iovine.
Jimmy Iovine, right.
You got the biggest backing of all time, you know? So, and listen, I said this, and people called me crazy. And I was like, nah, it's true. I say, man, listen, 50 Cent, when 50 Cent blew up, I'm not gonna take nothing away from him, cause when he dropped Get Rich or Die Trying, it hit hard. But I think the only reason he got big or blew up was because Shine ended up going to prison. Remember, Shine was next in line. Once Mason all them had left, DMX had, you know, DMX wasn't falling off, but DMX started getting into movies. So we're like, okay, who's the next rapper? Shine was right there. P. Diddy was finna put Shine on top. Then next you know, Shine go to prison. Once Shine go to prison, here come 50. I say that and people be like, oh man, you crazy. I say, well, I'm not saying Shine was better than 50. I'm just saying Shine was the next dude in line to be over.
Take the torch, yeah.
Yeah,
like. Man. I don't know, man. Go ahead, D-Rod. I don't cut you off.
No, I was about to say, yeah. I think what really with 50 is like, I think it's more because he put a lot of niggas on. I don't think you've ever seen somebody put so many niggas on and be successful than what he did. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to think about it. He put Lloyd Banks on, was successful. He put Young Buck on, was successful. He put The Game on, was successful. He didn't put the Mamba, Mobb Deep. They kind of faded into the back, and then he came out with the Out of Control track. Now Mobb Deep back to the forefront. You know what I'm saying? Olivia, she didn't really wasn't, like, nobody wasn't listening to her. He jumped on the track with her, and oh, she got a little album. Now she got some sales going on. Tony Yayo, like, he's the hype man. He's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's the group's hype man. Look what he did. He made a little money.
See Yayo, right?
Wow. Yeah, you still
great interview.
Yeah, and then it's like he add members. He add a few guys. The kid, what's his name? Kid. He added him and all these other guys that got a little money, like Uncle Murder. Look at Uncle Murder getting money. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it came to like features and writing credits and all that stuff, then I'll be like, okay, he has a chance to at least put a little dent in it. I'm not saying he still won't do nothing with T.I., but he got a lot of hits. Not directly is like his music, because I mean, really, only thing that if you plan anything from him, you know what I'm saying, is I Get Money. Really. You know what I'm saying? And you could probably play that. You could probably play that in a club right now, and people probably gonna jump more for that than in the club.
Yeah, I mean, throw the mixtape shit in there. That's what the Locks did, and I think it makes it better. I just don't think. I still don't think he wins. If he go and pull the mixtape joints, and the thing with the mixtape joints, like I said, I learned from the Locks versus Dipset one was that this shit really is the culture. So he can move the crowd if he picked the right mixtape joints to basically fight back, because Tip definitely got like the smash hits, even though like I really don't want to hear Swagger Like Us no more, but it was a smash. He can skip that though. He ain't got to touch that.
Yeah, he can't play that. I think that's cheating. You can't play that. No way you got those four rappers on one song and you gonna go to a versus and play it. That's a hard
thing. Right. You got Jay, Wayne, and Kanye on the song. Like, come on, dog. Like, that's an insane look, you know, and at the time, the beats was, you know, Ye beat. So, I mean, I get why 50 ducked it, to be honest with you. I think the only person in Atlanta that would want to see T.I. it'll be like T.I. Jeezy.
Uh-huh.
T.I. Future.
Well, I would T.I. Future to go because they like two different artists.
Generationally, yeah, they different. That's the only other person I really think could that you can see like, damn, all right, here's the matchup. But I agree with you. I wouldn't want that one either because
Future,
the next generation after T.I.
Yeah, yeah. T.I. got to go with somebody like from either the 90s or early 2000s. And then that crosses over to like, even, you know, T.I. saying he want to do something with Lil Wayne. I'm like, well, I say, I'm a T.I. fan. I say, man, T.I., I don't know if you want to do that with Wayne because if Wayne going to add his mixtape, there's no way you going to win. Like, there's no way
you win. He's a tough out. Y'all seen that dude, I don't really, you know, listen to his music like that or nothing, but my man, LaRussell, and he said that, like, he fought with Wayne heavy, but Wayne really don't be saying nothing. And I was like, everybody got mad at him, all the Wayne fanatics got mad at him. I'm like, I fuck with Wayne. Wayne is the top rapper for the Bars. He's not wrong. Wayne do just be saying a bunch of fly shit.
Larry, listen, I was just gonna say that the way he just be saying stuff, like blurting out. Cause remember at one point they were like, man, oh, Eminem, he just be rapping. They don't really be making sense. And then Wayne started doing it. I was like, dang, Wayne, like, what is you doing? Like, at first, you know, it made sense what you was saying. Now,
ooh, hot boy,
you just rapping. You just putting words together because you can rap. Right. You know what I'm saying? And that's not bad. That's good because that's what MCN is. But to create songs, you gotta have some meaning. You know what I'm right. saying?
And most of this shit don't. It's just bad. It's clever punchlines. He's fucking clever as they come. They're probably the only person in contention with Wayne when it comes to just like the punches to me is maybe Lloyd Banks. Where it's just like, all right, this nigga really be like thinking of some of the most creative punches you could come up with. But yeah, the whole song, you'll be like, now what did he talk about really? You're like, that nigga really didn't say shit. He just was saying a bunch of dope shit. Oh, yeah. I was like, damn, he don't cut ass. And then he popped up and pulled a clip of Joe Budden saying the same exact shit. I was like, hey, and he been said it. He had said it a while ago. I was like, it is true.
He just be rapping. And they cut, you know, I forget which rapper said it first, but they was like, man, rappers get high and then get in the booth and say whatever they want. And it don't be making no sense.
And nigga ain't said, nigga just said a bunch of fly shit that don't really connect. You just saying, like, G's Smooth in Silence like lasagna, and then later on in the same verse you're talking about, you know,
all my bitches
love me like pound puppies or some shit like that. And it's like, all right, okay, that shit was dope, but what the fuck is he talking about?
What does it mean? Listen, I was never a Wayne fan, right? I'm still not a Wayne fan like that, but he when he did the song with T.I., Stand Up? Did the song with T.I.
He was on Stand Up. It was Trick, Wayne, and T.I.
Okay, yeah, he did that, and then you know when I heard his verse, and I was like, he said he jumped off the porch after he shot himself, and I was like, huh?
Oh yeah.
Like, hold on, you jumped off the porch after you shot yourself, like that. I don't even know if you should have said that. Like, he shot himself. But okay. And then that's when I realized, I said, oh, yeah, this nigga just be rapping. He just be talking about anything and put it together and make it sound good. And then everybody saying, oh, what happened? We heard what Lil Wayne said. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, he don't write. Wayne don't write. And it shows, like, that's why a lot of this stuff don't have a story at all, or like a theme in particular. It's just he put together all these clever ideas in his head, and then he just, you know, then he just spit them out, flow them. And he's one of the best of all time, especially at that. But yeah, subject matter wise, that shit really do be like, I don't think the nigga wrote about a damn thing. But the other verses that I don't know if we're gonna get either, and I think this one a lot closer. In my head, even though I got my clear-cut winner, you know, I think, especially y'all boys being from Florida, y'all, you know, might have difference of opinion on that, but the Plies versus Trick shit.
I mean, I don't even want to be biased, but I mean, yeah, I'm a ride with Trick. Listen, Trick is one of my favorite artists. Trick one, he one of like one of my top 10 favorite artists because from the first time Trick came out, he's still the same Trick from the first time I heard him. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking about early 90s. He ain't changed his rap. He rapped the same way. He just dropped a song and everybody talk about, oh, what, Trick back? I'm like, yeah, that's been him forever. Like, he ain't lost that. He just, you know what I'm saying, getting older. But, yeah, I'm a ride with Trick, man. Verse AK-47, come on, man. www. Come on, like. Yeah. I keep telling people, like, man, I never really listened to Plies like that because I thought he was a goofball from the jump. he got some songs that, you know, he'll drop and, you know, the club will go crazy and stuff like that. But if we go on song for song, man, I'm riding with Trick, man. It's hard for me to pick anybody over Trick, like.
He's from the crib, too. Yeah, I mean, who you got, D-Rod, if you had to pick right now?
I'm going to go Trick. I'm going to go Trick. Because I think that it's going to have to go deeper than commercial. I think I go deeper. Like you said, I think I go deeper than commercial. I think that I don't think a lot of people see Plies like as a gangster anyway, because he was living through the eyes of his brother. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, we know when Trick rap about some shit he did. When Plies rap about it, it ain't about nothing that he did. I think it'll be a little bit more competitive than, you know, like than some people might probably feel like. But I'll probably go with Trick because I think that, man, he got some shit, bro. He really got some shit.
Man.
Now, Plies got some mixtape shit, like, but see, my thing with Plies is like, he'll drop in the early 2000s, like he'll drop, like he had albums, but it's like now it's like he's just dropping songs. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'll get a song like once every 6-7 months, and it's like, okay, like we need more. Now, Trick gave us this music, right? Like, the song that he got out right now. Is it gonna be an album? Like, what are we doing? Like, I need more than just this song that, you know what I'm saying, he came out with.
That's the only thing about Trick. Trick lazy. Trick ain't like it takes time for Trick to get in the studio and put an album together. Trick ain't finna do that. Like, Plies could probably go drop an album a whole lot faster than Trick. That's the only difference between those two. And I'm gonna tell you, the crazy part is like when Slim and Slide signed Plies, they really signed them because Trick was lazy. They like, man, we need an artist who we could take, you know what I'm saying, around the country. You know, Trick didn't really Trick ain't wanna go past Tallahassee. He like, man, I ain't going nowhere. Like, if it ain't in Florida, I ain't going. You know what I'm saying? So
did Plies go on Slim and Slide?
Yeah, Plies was signed with Slim and Slide.
He was signed with Slim and Slide. Yeah.
For what album? Trick. Well, he never came. That he didn't drop an album with him.
No.
Plies dropped what, 3 or 4 albums with Slim and Slide?
Yeah.
You know,
I want to say it was like his first. I want to say it was like, I don't know if it's like his first 3 or 4 or something like that. But yeah, he was a Slim and Slide artist.
By the time Shorty hit, he was on Slim and Slide. Or he was already Shorty, off by
then. Yeah, I think Shorty was on Slim and Slide too. Yeah, it was on Slim and Slide too, because I remember when they was pressing up them CDs, they had Slim and Slide.
I thought by then he was he was doing his own little imprint or whatever, Big Gates Records, whatever. Because that was his older brother.
He did do Big Gates, but you know, he was still like Slim and Slide. Slim and Slide had a distribution deal through Atlantic. So Ted had Trina, Trick.
Got him a roster.
Plies, he didn't have Pitbull fully, but he had like some type of rights to Pitbull. But yeah, Ted had a roster, man. It's too bad, man.
Yeah, Ted Lucas.
I just look at this shit. I did not know that. I'm looking at the credits now. Atlantic / Slip and Slide. I did not know that.
Ted had a roster.
That make a lot of sense too. Yeah, that, see, you just dropped some shit on me now. Yeah, they signed him because Trick, man, didn't want to go no fucking well. But man, So I'm from Savannah. Everybody know about now originally. And we were fucking with Trick. Like, I intro'd the Trick with Scott, with Luke, right? That's when we first really heard him. And niggas was like, damn, who cuz it? Like, that nigga ripping, bro. I don't know who that is, but he stole the spotlight in that moment on that one song. So that was like my intro. I went off to school when I went to Morehouse. I think that's when WWW dropped. And, you know, niggas looking like, who is this? This shit look crazy. Fuck, like the album cover. The nigga look crazy on it. And I was just like, his name threw me off. Right? I'm like, Trick Daddy. Nah, that can't be it, right? That just don't sound like the right. Like, it seemed to me like this gonna be some bullshit. And then I walked in one of my homeboy dorm one time, and he was from down south, he was from Miami, and we was in there like playing Street Fighter or some shit, GoldenEye, some shit like that. And he was playing the album. And I was like, God damn, this shit sly, man. What is this? Who is this? He's like, man, it's Trick. I was like, Trick. Oh, the nigga with the WWW. Cause I thought all that shit was like a joke at first. WWWthug.com. I was like, yeah, all right. I thought it was like a total like gimmicky joke type that I did not take it seriously. And I ain't gonna lie to you, that album was riding, dog. I was like, yeah, that shit, they fire, man. And that's when I first got to listening to them. And then, like, I think you're right. When you look at just that album and, AK-47. Then he got some of the commercial hits after that too. Like on the once he started blowing up a little bit more, was it
Thugs R Us?
The Thugs R Us.
Thugs R Us. Yes. Yeah. And by then he got like In the Wind. And, you know, y'all don't kind of convince me. It'll be a tougher battle than I originally probably had it. But
that one goes to like you said about. I think you said about the when you said 50, like it depends on the songs they play,
mm-hmm.
crowd. You know what I'm saying? Because, like I said, Plies got some songs that I've heard in the clubs, and I seen the whole club like go crazy.
Oh yeah, I am the club. That shit went stupid like, in the city, man. When you play, I am the club in Savannah, nigga. That shit was going crazy because you got all these niggas with their little piece of money out there. You know what I'm saying? A nigga want to shell out and flex, shine. Nigga, I am club. They standing up on couches, and, you know, trying to get it off like that. And then Shorty, of course, was just, man, that shit went.
Yeah, dog. Shorty. Yeah, when he did Shorty, listen, I remember when Slim and Slide pressed it up, Shorty CD, because it was a single. So this, you know, I had my music, music shop, I mean, my CD shop. So they bought me the CDs. I'm talking about as soon as I got it. It was on a Wednesday. I got it on a Wednesday. I went straight to the strip club. So I'm like, hey, let me go get it to the DJ.
Yes, good job.
I to the DJ. I'm like, boy, you got to play this. He listened to it, played the song. Next, you know, the whole club jamming. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, you got that strip club like the Tesla.
Oh, yeah.
That Tesla on the block.
That's why I used to tell all the people who come to my music shop. I'm like, listen. They be like, man, X, I'm trying to get on. What's up? I say, listen, man, if you can't take your song to the strip club and they play it, it's not good. Like, I'm just telling you, like, if they not going to play your song at the strip club, it's not good. So, yeah, Plies got that, man. But I'm going to tell you one song Trick got that I think if he plays it in the verses with Plies, he just going to destroy the whole show because Plies don't got no song like this, right?
I think I know what you're going to say, and I'm going to give you the reply, but go ahead. Let me hear what you got.
I got one in my head, too.
Trick come out with this song. Anybody want a motherfucker?
When a motherfucker die, come see. Oh, yeah. Hey. Listen. Hey, once you finish talking, I literally was about to say, what song did you think that each can play that'll set it off? If that shit come on right there, X, hey, man, just that's it. Larion, that is a, listen, Larion.
I don't think you can beat that one. I give you that one.
Now I'm about to say, Larion, if you ever, I don't know if they still do it. I ain't been home in so long, but you know, they do like pack jams. You know what I'm saying? Like neighborhood pack jams.
Coming up, they actually got one.
Man, look, Larion, when that shit come on, you liable to hear gunshots, everything. Niggas get so hype off that song, bro.
Hey,
man.
When you hear a song come on, Like, and their part is like the DJ usually don't play it with the music. The whole club says word for word.
For word, yep.
And then he plays a song and the club just go crazy. I'd be like, this nigga Trick got one.
I'm gonna give him a 1-0 on that one. I'm gonna give you that one. I don't think he can fight back on that one. That's a hard out. Like
he can't.
I think if he dropped that one, you go to like one of your back end picks and be like, nah, nigga took that one. Especially if he jumped out the gate with it. Like, all right.
Hey, but you know what? A lot of people, I don't know, but JV, the dude who was rapping with him on there, man, hey, boy, he slid, boy. His verse was his verse was tight on there. That's like I said, that's probably like my favorite Trick song of all time. The only thing, I'm gonna tell you what pissed me off. It's a little bit off topic, right? He had a song that Fat Joe them stole, man. Play No Games. I ain't really here to play no games. On his album, it's a song with him by himself. But then they got a video with Fat Joe and some other. I'm like, yo, what the hell?
No, Kool and Dre did the beat, and you know that's Fat Joe and the producer.
Oh man,
Kool and Dre did the beat, and that's Fat Joe producer.
Larry, I can't hear you.
Yeah, we can't hear you, Larry.
Yeah, we can't hear you, brother.
I'll mute it. Yeah, but I was just saying, like, that's just moving it out, and you know, and Fat Joe like honorary Miami dog, like, you know what I'm saying? He fucking with Cuban, cuz like it's like Joe rep Miami hard damn near as much as he rep the Bronx.
Yeah,
he been down with Cool and Dre the whole time.
Yeah, like, Cool and Dre, they Terror Squad,
that's a good fucking move.
Producer, so they did the beat for Trick, and then you know, it wasn't that. They stole the song, you know what I'm saying? They just did a remix version, and then they let Fat Joe basically be the
lead. Yeah, man. Yeah, like, I ain't
Trick was lazy, like Trick. He didn't care, man. You know what I'm saying? And then Ted ain't really care, cause Ted was like, man, I got the rights to that song, so guess what? Play the song out, play the hell out of it. I don't care. He getting
money. He probably got a little check. Now, my next question is the one song, I'm So Hood, who had the better verse? Trick applies.
I don't know. I think I'll take Plies on that one. I remember Plies.
You think so?
He was super hot at that time, too. So I felt like he left an impression on that song.
He did.
He left a hell of an impression.
Yeah, Plies left an impression on that song.
And this is the time everybody believed the nigga. See, it wasn't too.
Yeah.
Before the nigga start telling everybody, oh, that nigga ain't like that.
Yeah.
I'll do a nigga like that, man. But you know, Jamie Foxx told a story about him once.
Oh, he was on YouTube.
He was like, yeah, that nigga ain't like that, man. He said that nigga start talking different and everything. All them Crips ran up on him and shit.
That nigga went, he like, oh, man, we got to do the song. That nigga started talking about logistics and he's like, hold on, I thought you was a hood nigga. You talking like you a lawyer or something. Like,
but strictly music.
Nah, like I say, Plies got some stuff, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I can't ride with him over
Trick.
I don't think that would happen for real, man. That should be.
It should. It need to happen.
Go ahead.
No, I'm about to say that if it do happen, that one needs to be like, I wouldn't mind if they did like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know how they have like the Orange Blossom Classic down there or something like that? Or even if they at like at the Bethune and FAMU, like some hat, like a halftime sort of some shit, if they did it right then and there, I think that'll be dope. You know what I'm saying?
You couldn't do a halftime though, because it'll
take D-Rod, you just said
could do it like you could do it maybe pre, like the day before, the game. In the same type venue setup, but see, that's the stadium setup too.
You just said it, man. They can do a pack jam and just get a big enough venue, man. And
yeah, pack,
let Trick and Plies bless the stage, because you know, it'll be good for the culture especially for Florida. It's good for that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because they always talk about, you know, well, Florida, y'all ain't. We really, I mean, shit, we got Trick, got Ross, Plies, Kodak, you know, we got rappers, you know what I'm saying? It's just,
right.
You know, we just don't have as much as Atlanta. We just don't have as much as New York or California, but we got them, you know what I'm saying? So that's the other verse. That's the other verse I wanted to see. Like, I wanted to, if you're going to do Trick and Plies, then you definitely got to do, if you do a T.I. versus Wayne, you definitely got to do a Ross versus Jeezy. Like, that's the only one I think makes sense with Jeezy. You can't put nobody else in the ring with Jeezy. Like,
Jeezy, my guy.
They did it with Gucci. Yeah. The only reason Gucci survived because niggas was like, yeah, Gucci, he thorough.
Gangsta, yeah. And then you know what I like? You know what I like what they did? Remember they did their versus what at Magic City, wasn't it? Wasn't that Magic City or one of them? I like how they did that. That's something like you said with tricking Plies, if they did some shit like that, they don't need no.
Keep it vintage.
They said for the culture,
like,
yeah.
Keep it for the culture, like, because most of them shit don't be in like no, you know, stadium type setting. It's like they broadcast it so all of us can see it, but to keep that authentic feel, they do it in these smaller type venues. You know, nothing jam packed, but yeah, like something where it'll just be, all right, this for the culture, man. This for the people. We gonna give it that feel. So I hope they actually do make that happen, man. That's one that need to happen. Who y'all got top five Florida rappers?
Real quick. Top five Florida rappers. Oh man. JT Money number one. You know, I roll with my dog from around the way. You know, he's from the hood, same hood.
No doubt.
Gotta roll with T Double D number two.
Okay.
Ross number three. No. Billy Blue number three for me.
Billy Blue
number three for me. Ross number four. Five, I would say, dang, it's hard because I was going to say out of either Kodak or Plies. So I just both of them five.
You know, they're split five.
So for me, it's very similar. I got CX, you're a little older than me, so I caught JT Money kind of not, I ain't gonna say on it, but kind of like on the back end, you know what I'm saying? But I still listen to him. So for me, I would say I got Trick one, JT Money two. I think if I probably was probably about 3 years older, I probably would have, it probably been switched. You know what I'm saying? So I got Trick one, I got JT Money two. I'm gonna go Ross three, Kodak four, and then I'll go Plies five. Cause I mean I like Billy Blue, you know what I'm saying, but he's more of a I ain't gonna say like underground, but he's more you can consider him right. More
he's probably like underground. Yeah. A little more underground
because yeah. I like Billy Blue, you know what I'm saying. I like Iceberg, you know what I'm saying. It's a couple local guys, you know what I'm saying. I mess with what's the name? I'm missing one, dog. I can't think. Don't block a goon. Nope. The Opalaka Goon, Briscoe, yeah. It's a couple of guys, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Me, so I ain't from there, so I won't have as much as the you know what I'm saying, regional feel of mine. But I go Ross, Trick, Plies, Luke, Kodak, in that order. I keep it that way. You got to get Luke made too many anthems. Like, I think, you know, Luke to me was probably the first one to really put Miami on the map.
It was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, regardless
of. Without Luke, you don't have rap music. Like, without
right,
Luke, it's, rap music, you don't got hip hop. Like,
yeah, this nigga was on, like, what?
Supreme Court.
Donahue or some shit like that. Yeah. No one of them talk shows back in the day. It was like, Donahue.
Yeah, he had to go to the Supreme Court and win the case. Right. So they could make music. Remember, they was finna cancel. Like, they were like, man, they don't want no hip hop. They don't want niggas doing nothing. But Luke, you know, when you see the parental
advisory, yeah,
you see that on any music CD. That's Luke. Luke won that case for any artist to make music. So
yeah, because they were trying to snatch shit off the shelf, saying it was too vulgar and lewd. And it's like, bro, it's America. You say what the fuck you want to say. Right, y'all talking about the kids? All right, let's stick on it. Say, hey, don't, you know. Your kids shouldn't be listening to this. You know, that's fine.
And what Luke say, like, man, I'm not your kid's I ain't supposed to be your kid's role model. Like,
role model, yeah.
You are, exactly. No doubt. Yeah, Luke legendary, man. I remember Luke coming to the city, man. I was too young. I used to just be like, man, Luke had a girl up on stage, cuz she took a shirt off. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm too young to go. I'm like, who is this guy? He's like, this guy's a myth. He was just the first wild, like a Two Live Crew concert. I see where they would get banned because they niggas was going crazy on them stages.
Yeah, nah, they was getting, they was, man, yeah, they were nasty.
They get canceled now.
listen, I remember, yeah. I was in short, I thought I was like 17. He had, they had end up going to Black Gold. I don't know if you heard of that club, Larry. Black Gold was a little strip club.
A strip club, yeah, man.
Yeah, it was like that. It was like yo. That.
Them boys, yeah.
Luke brought out his dancers. They on stage, freak show. I'm like,
legendary dance.
This nigga Luke is wild. I'm like, man, and they was. I was like, yeah, Luke still. And this is like 98. And I'm like, what? Well,
yeah.
Luke, like he still going.
Man, Luke had Jay-Z on the couch. With a chick with her titties out and shit. Like, remember he used to do the interview show and shit? People like, people forget that part. Like, this nigga is.
Oh, yeah. He had Jay-Z on the couch and then he had the little two females over there, little freaking off. And Jay-Z was looking.
Oh,
Jay-Z was like a deer head. Like, he was like a deer head. Like, whoa, this what y'all do down here? Yeah, this is what it is.
Like, Miami, that shit, nigga. I'm in.
Yeah, Luke like that, man. And that's why I had to put JT in there because, you know, like before you heard Scar with Trick, JT was with Luke. You know what I'm saying? He was doing songs with Luke and, you know what I'm saying, Poison Clan,
yep.
Yeah, like, listen, man, hey, poisonous mentality, that was probably my what you call it, my guide for life.
That's like, a hell of a guy.
Yeah, man. Hey, that was my guy earlier.
Oh, shit.
Man, them boys, JT, Devin, and them boys, they set it off, man. But and the reason I put Billy Blue too, man, because I, you know, when it goes to lyrical content, I felt like Billy Blue really is lyrical. He got to be, because if Lupe messing with him, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Man, you got to be lyrical. Lupe just don't mess with anybody. You know what I'm saying?
That's so, right. Yeah, no, shout out. Yeah, Lupe. I remember Lupe made that joint. It's like, it's one of my favorite songs he made. He got Trouble on there. He got Billy on there. He got Fam Lay from Virginia on there.
Yeah, I know the song you're talking about.
He's like, yeah, I had to do it with them guys because, like, once I added one, I had to add the other one because he's like, I can't pull up to these cities, nigga. And I ain't get my dog to be on them joints. So, it was like out of respect for who they were as individuals and, you know, artists. So that was dope. I can't remember the name of the song right now. That shit long as hell too. But like everybody go crazy on that joint. Anyway, shit, man, let's toss some ball real quick.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up? Welcome to 26 Degrees, Miami Hurricanes Football Barbershop Talk. It's the gang. You guys are here. Feeling great, feeling good. How are you? Well, I hope. But we're just going to tap in. Snow lose cycle right now. I know we all waiting on the same exact thing. We want these hires. It's just a fan thing. Yeah, I get it. Mario's going to take his time. We're going to tap into that a little bit. And then ultimately, man, we're going to talk about that key word, man, trajectory. You know, the one that make the asshole itch. The one that they thought was funny until they started seeing the trajectory of the programs in the state. They shall remain unnamed. But the man just said, you can take a look at this program. Trajectory versus the other programs in the state. And then you could decide who you want to saddle up with. It ain't like Manny remember say he was going to play with us or get beat by us. Didn't pan out quite as well. I think that shit real now. But as usual, got the real Phil General X in here with us today. Say what up to the people.
Yo, 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 what's good? We back. Yeah, that word trajectory, man, it's important because like everyone said, they laughed at Mario for slamming his hand on the desk. They laughed at him when he got hired because he had the smallest jersey. They laughed at him when he lost to Georgia Tech, Middle Tennessee State, and boom, 2026 come. And we laughing. We looking at them boys like.
Ain't funny no more. It ain't all funny. That shit ain't funny no more. Ain't
funny when the other dude got the gun. You looking mm-hmm. down that barrel, now you scared. Y'all want
hey, look, y'all do yourself a favor, man. You know, I implemented a new rule. You feel free to adopt it. Florida State, little bruh, you know, so I kick it with them a little bit. But mother folk, man, don't give them no time, man. They miserable. They on yet another coach, another G5 coach. He seen corny like another G5 coach by the name of Mr. Norvell. So we'll see how that pans out. We'll see how it works out for him. They really got nothing to stand on. They got absolutely nothing to stand on. They just hurt and want attention. So I just don't have time for them. And we won't play them again because they pussy. So we won't play them again for probably another 10 years or so because they're not going to be in no playoffs. So I don't know when we'll run cross paths again. They can't even make a bowl game, let alone playoffs. So
I'm about to say they not even bowl eligible. So
playoffs. And we won't be in the same bowl. That's trajectory. I can tell you that. We will not be in the same bowl. It won't happen. It'll be two different bowls, man. But we also have in here the illustrious Chef D. Robs in the building. Say what's up, Chef.
What up? What up? What's going on there, everybody? Man, happy to be back. Sorry, my time was short on the last one. I had a little family situation, you know, but everything good to go now. We back at it.
Yes, sir.
D. Robs. Yeah, that works. Pull up, man. It's crazy because, you know, each year, man, Mario has gotten better, man. We go 5-7, 7-5, 10-3. What, we 13-3 this year or 12?
We lost. Yeah.
13-3. Yep, 13-3. Yeah.
13-3. Each year he's getting better. It's crazy, you know, because everybody want to talk bad about Mario by his in-game coaching. And yeah, you know what I'm saying? He's not perfect. He does do some things that make you scratch your head and make you wonder sometimes, but he was able to put a team together, which is what his ultimate job was. You know what I'm saying? Is be the CEO, put a staff, put a team together that you could put on the field and let your coaches do the job. And so he was able to do that the last 2 years. The last 2 years he was able to do that, man. You see, he's starting to. I mean, like right now, man, Miami is on fire. We on fire, man. And I'm not even gonna get off topic about recruiting, but yeah, Miami on fire. And I mean, we on fire because we the talk of the nation.
Yeah, you know, college football is no longer just a Florida thing or like a Miami fan thing. It's now he's brought this team back into the national spotlight. And that's just the bottom line. Like you said, the trajectory is completely different. The expectations have been lifted. The floor has been lifted. Like nothing. Now we sit here, right? We've been doing this show how many years now? What, four?
Yeah.
It's been now, right? And every year, the expectations have been something different. So think about how we came in last season, you know, the start of this season, as opposed to the previous season, right? So we got the old Cam Ward, the truth, the way, and the light. I don't see it yet, right? I saw the spring game. I saw some, okay, bro, look all right. But, you know, spring game, you didn't get too much. But all the reports and everything was that this dude was an absolute beast, a monster, a program change. Cool. Comes in. He actually is. Oh, shit. Man, we go out there, we win some games. Unfortunately, the defense sucked, but we can see now we can win some games, like double-digit games. So then we roll into this season, and now the expectation has been lifted from the season previous to that. So I think going into last year, before we really got to see Cam roll out and like beat the Gators like we did, I think, you know, the average expectation of the average fan was for us to win 8 games, you know, and that would have been kind of a letdown, but we could live with it. And I think the only letdown with that year was we, you know, we won the 10 games, but if it wasn't for the defense, man, we had championship offense. You know what I mean? So that was really the letdown. We was like, bro, we really could have played for some shit if only this defense could stop a nosebleed. But that, again, that gave the program a new pulse. All of a sudden, we come into this season, and we like, shit, all you got to do is not sink this ship. Now we're getting Carson Beck. He's not going to be Cam. We know that. We know the highs and lows of Carson. But a steady hand for the most part till he has, you know, that day. You're going to have a day. You know, you're going to have a couple throws. You're like, damn, bro, like that, you know, national championship game, right? Obviously. One of the worst throws he could have ever thrown in that game. He could have won that game. And if he plays that ball properly, that's a touchdown all day long. But he did. He let us down in that moment. But he gave us an opportunity. And again, the expectations were so much different because when we came in, we knew we had a hell of an offensive line with shame on the national media. Because I just feel like our O-line has been criminally underrated. Like, why are we not in these discussions for O-line of the year? You know, those awards and things like that. I'm like, and then you watch us on TV and all they talk about is how we got a monster wall and nobody could touch our quarterback. You know, and it's just like, okay, where's the accolades that come with that? And that goes to part of that brand recognition. They not used to thinking of Miami as great online. Bottom line is we are a great online now. So we knew we had that. And we knew we obviously was going to have a great D-line. Because we, even though Ruben Bain didn't show us the year before, because of the injuries, we knew he was something special. And then he went out there and showed improve. And then Akeem Mezador, who, you know, X, you called it. I was high on him earlier. The injuries piled up. I started getting a little skeptical. And I remember before the season, he was like, we sleeping on Mezador. And he came out, showed improve. And he's probably going to be a first-round pick, even though he's, what, 24 years old, 23 years old, something like that. Which to me, I'm like, what's the knock on that? You grown man. You still young. You still young as hell. But anyways. Go ahead, bro.
No, I was saying, if you can play football, you can play football. The age, like, come on. I need him now.
Yeah, I need him now. Especially if you're in the first round, you probably like, where he will probably go is something crazy, like maybe Seattle. I don't know if he falls all the way to the 32nd pick. I think he'll go a little earlier than that, somewhere probably in the 24, 25, 26 range. But imagine if he went to Seattle. I hope not as a 49ers fan. God, I hope not. Like, you're going right back to a contender, you know, and that's what those type of teams need anyway. They're ready to get right back out there and win. So, yeah, if you're in that position, I got no problem taking a guy that's a little bit older. Matter of fact, I prefer it in a lot of ways because there's a different maturity mentally and physically. But anyways, yeah, I say all that to just say now coming into this season, I think once again, the expectations are super high. And you know, I asked you, D-Rob, because you probably you like the team skeptic. What would success look like for you in this upcoming season? You muted.
Winning the ACC. I think if you win the ACC, I think that you can say that I would consider it a successful season because it's the one thing we still haven't done. I mean, Mario can get it done on the playoff. I think we'll do what we do in the playoffs. I don't know if we'll make the run that we made this year. But I think that, you know, I think we'll do a little something. You know what I'm saying? We'll do a little something. But I think successful year this year is winning the ACC. Cause then now you got that monkey off your back. You know what I'm saying? That's the only thing that we can say that outside of winning the Natty, which we all know is like super hard to do. You know what I'm saying? I would say you win the ACC. We finally won that. Yeah. We almost did it. Yeah, if we would have won that natty, like, regardless of what Mario did from here on out, like, he solidified because he won a natty. Like, you can't say, you can't name how many, like, it's hard, man. Like, it's how many active coaches have a natty? Three? You got Day, Kirby, and Dabo. Oh, and Signetti. Four. Signetti. You got four now. Yeah, that's it. So it's like, it's hard. It's extremely hard to win a national championship. You know what I'm saying? Right. So I think you get the ACC out the way. You know what I'm saying? You're going to, it's another 10 win season. Hands down. I ain't worried about that. You're going to beat your rivals. Ain't worried about that. Just win the ACC. You win the ACC, like, I'm good. And then it just, whatever we do after that, you know, it's just what it is. Because I think we're only going to go up. You know what I'm saying? There's no looking back. There's no more 7-win season. There's no more none of that that's going to happen. As long as Mario the coach, I don't think we're ever going to get to that because of the NIL and, you know, the portal and all that stuff. Granted, some more things are probably going to change with that, because I think they're going to try to limit the how many times a player can transfer. I think it can be like a one-time thing. Or I think I also heard them say they might implement the, if you transfer more than one time, you have to sit out a year. Which, yeah. I wouldn't be opposed to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's real stupid. It's like, you go into the portal, you got your new school, jump into the portal again, go to another school, jump into, and you're like, I don't like that. You know what I'm saying? If you jump in the portal, go to a school, let that be your school. But I think the portal is going to be utilized less because of only one window now. So I don't think as many people are going to be so quick to jump in the portal and do whatever. But I just think the you win the ACC, man. I think you good. You know what I'm saying?
So ACC, and don't have to. So what if we win it like Duke won it? If we 7-5 and win the ACC, you good?
Yeah, we won the ACC.
Shit, no.
I won't be. Listen, if we win, I don't think that would happen because of I think they changing the rule again. But mm-hmm. It's hard for me to think that okay, a 75 team.
Let's be 8-4 and win the ACC. That's the
no, because not no, because I think that no, because. No, you can't. No, it's not because the expectation. Yeah, right, yeah, right. Yeah. Because you heard what I just said. Hey, it's 10 wins. Like, it's nothing less than 10 wins. It got to be 10. Yeah. Yes.
I'm good with that.
I'm not good with just 10 wins. Like, what the hell we doing? We supposed to be better.
But my thing is, X, we'll win more than 10 games. Even if you win the ACC, you're probably going to win more than 10 games anyway. It's extremely hard. Like, that 75 shit with Duke should have never happened. Like, yeah. That was the ACC's fuck up off the technicality. Like, they should have automatically put the highest rated team in the ACC in that championship game with Virginia. Point blank, period. That should have happened. So yeah. I don't think we're ever going to see a 75 team win a Power 5, a Power 4 conference title. Now G5 probably, yeah. However, that shit could probably happen right there. But as far as like P4, I don't think we'll ever see a 75 team win it, and you know what I'm saying, whatever. So
no doubt. Same thing, X. What success look like for you for next year?
Yeah. Man, I think this team 2026 is going to be, I don't even want to say be better than the 25 team, but I would say the offense is going to be more explosive.
Yeah.
The offense is going to be more explosive.
I agree already with that one.
Defensively, that's the only thing you're looking at, but I don't even think the defense take a step back. I think we still going to do what we do. The only difference is you know, the work ethic of what Ruben Bain and Mesidor put in, the work ethic of, Wesley Bissaint, losing, you know, Jacoby Thomas, Keontae Scott. You just can't.
Older, better guy.
Yeah, you can't really lose those type of guys and then just expect to be back at the same, you know what I'm saying, level. Yeah. I'm not saying we can't, but that's just hard.
It's tough to pull off, yeah. Older guys, you know, they got a different mindset.
Especially the NIL era. Like, we ain't. It ain't the old you win well, you just be like, boy, next man up, and it look like the same, you know what I'm saying? But I do think this team can be better because of the quarterback situation also. I always knew, you know, Carson Beck, he's a liability. You know what I'm saying? He's a liability. It's just like at the beginning of the year, I didn't know how good that defense was going to be. Once I figured out how good that defense was going to be, I was like, well, it don't matter if Carson Beck is a liability. That defense is humming.
Yeah, you know, he got to look like he did in Georgia. The defense kept him, even in his worst games, his defense still gave him a chance to win those games. Every game, where that, you know, the games that we lost, we went out to Louisville, threw all the interceptions, we still had a chance to win that damn game. The man threw four interceptions, we lost by 4 points. That's not supposed to happen unless you got a hell of a defense. Yeah. So I think I see what you're saying too. I would tend to agree with that. I don't know. I'm kind of in the same place. I don't know if we'll be better, but I think we could be just as good, but in a different way, in the sense that the offense, I think, is going to be more explosive and more. I think even though Carson was a efficient passer, I think the offense in general will be even more efficient than it was this past season. I think we'll score more this year.
A lot more big plays. Offense goes back. It kind of goes back to the Cam Ward era where you said.
Right. That. Yeah. I tend to agree with that. Yeah.
I don't know. I think they'll miss them. Miss. I mean, 67% isn't. It ain't bad. You know what I'm saying? It's
right. I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
They got to look at the talent around them too, right? Yeah. Same thing for Cam. Get the right talent, shit moves up a little different.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's listen. Mensa is the quarterback that I wanted last year when we got before we got Carson Beck. I felt like if we had got Mensa, you know, everything was in play. We finally got him. So one thing I would say, yeah, like I say, I think we can, you know what I'm saying, the team, we can do better than last season because of the way that our defense play now. So yeah. if the offense going out there doing 35 plus or more, just say 35 plus, and the defense only giving up 14 to 10 points, I mean, that's really better. Because last year, I don't know how much we averaged on offense, but we only gave up 13 points per game.
Yeah, about 13, I want to say, yeah. So let's say, yeah, I can see that where maybe we bump up to 18 points on defense, but the offense bumps up another 5 points as well. So that's what I mean. It can be just as good. It'll just look a little different.
Yeah, it'll look different.
Because
yeah.
Like you said, you know, linebackers, we're going to have old-ass veteran linebackers for sure. So you'll have that maturity in that room. D-line, I'm with you there. You don't have quite as old the guys there, you know, in the secondary. Now, you got some in the secondary. You got like a Damari Brown, guy who's been in you know, on this team for years now. But, you know, like I say, losing to Keontae, losing to Jacoby. You know, Zachariah be going in his third year, which, you know, true junior. There's a certain level there. But and sometimes it's just the character of the guy. And I think he's done a good job at recruiting, you know, like Mario. You know, one thing I've heard him say is these guys love to play football. And I remember Steve Young talking about that a long time ago. He was just doing commentary on the show. And he said, you'd be surprised how many people in the NFL don't love to play football. And they just have a gift of talent, right? So that goes to speak to how a guy like Mario has prioritized finding guys to bring to this program that love to play football. In that, because when that's the case, the passion is there, whether the coach is there or not. That's when you get truly player-led teams. That's when you get a Malachi Toney who's the first one in and they got to kick him out at night because he just really loves this shit. It's not for show. It's not, you know, strictly about the money. The money, of course, you're going to get the money, but he just loves to play this game and he want to be the best he could be. So I think that's the culture that has now been established. And again, that helps take you right back to that word we talked about before, trajectory, wherein – now your teams are going to now we will consistently, and this is something I think we've been searching for, and I think this year we could put a stamp on it, an identity. Who is Miami? I don't think we've had an identity. I think we're forming it now, and I think this season could truly put a stamp on it where You know, if we can get another defensive performance, even similar to last year, all right, then that's just who we are at this point, right? Like, yeah. Especially you got Heatherman, and then you still got Shannon, right? Shannon Dawson, excuse me. Now you're seeing, all right, this is the type of offense they ought to be. So what we going to be, and something you saw on defense, big, fast, physical. Simple. It ain't that complicated. We ain't running nothing exotic. It's not very layered. It's simple. We just gonna move the person in front of us, and we gonna see ball, get ball. You know.
We haven't had the pleasure of keeping coordinators or retaining.
Right. And we having trouble with that now. We're about to get into that in a second.
Hard to find our identity. Like, we know the one identity Mario wants. He wants to be physical up front. You know what I'm saying? That's his identity, you know. But when you look at the entire team, offensively, it's either we gonna run the ball, we gonna muscle you, or, you know, we gonna be finesse, or you know, we gonna go back to Cam Ward, let Cam Ward pick and choose what he got going on. And then defensively, if we can be that, what we were last year, we ain't even got to be 100% of that. We could be like 70-75%. We 75% right. Defense was last year. I think, yeah, we finally got our identity now.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one thing now, too, that has changed for us, and I'm sure you've seen it. You spoke on it firsthand. I've heard, you know, NFL scouts speak on it. We look the part physically. So now when we get off the bus, we look like these SEC teams. And it's, you know, people don't really get that, but there's little differences when you hopping off the bus and your cornerbacks are legit 6 foot, 6'1", 6'2", and they 200 pounds of lean muscle. Look a little different than, you know, shout out to Trey DeBandy. Hell of a player for us. Looks different. And you need a Bandy on your team here and there. But at the time, he's like the best guy we had. And he's a small dude. You know what I mean? And again, you can have some sprinkled in, but that can't be the identity of your team if you're going to compete at the highest level. And I think that's, you know, again, goes back to what Mario does best, which is roster building. So I think that's where we at. You know, I'm with you as far as, I guess for me, I'll say real quick, success. Give me the ACC this year. I don't really, really care about it, but I don't see. For me, it's no excuses this year for losses, right? The only loss that I can stomach would be Notre Dame because it's on the road. And Clemson because it's on the road. But I don't even think we should lose that one. That's just the truth of it. Look at our schedule. We already went through it, you know, when it first dropped. It's not really a game on there that we should lose. So that's going to be a big key for success to me this year. Let's not drop the SMU or Louisville this year. Let's go to great.
Dropping the game that you know you should win.
Right. That's my expectation this season. Let's go from, you know, and it changed. Remember, it's like they switched. We saw the offense get more relaxed. Now Malachi Toney's throwing all these passes. You know, and I do think that, you know, without knowing, I think that was after their losses, they had to come to Jesus moment, and Shannon was like, hey, man, let me just run my offense. Like, you got to get your hand off my damn shoulder a little bit and let me just do some of the things I want to do. And I think we can do some better things. And we saw it. Proof was in the pudding. It changed up. So, yeah, I would say no more dropping games that we just ain't got no business dropping. Let's go ahead and take the ACC. And I think, you know, I honestly think we poised to get a bye in this playoff, in this next playoff. So give me one win at least in the playoff. I don't want to just get there. But success to me, yeah, we got to win the ACC and don't drop no dumb games and win me a playoff game. And I'm going to call that a successful year. But moving along. Like I said, the other thing, man, that's been kind of hanging out there, you know, rumors are swirling, and it still ain't quite settled yet, man. the position coaches, right? So what we got basically, still search for our tight end coach. Still have to replace
back coach,
running back coach. Remember, he went off to the NFL. Tight ends coach is now, he was Ole Miss, right? Yeah.
Yeah, what
they named him co-OC.
OC.
Yeah.
Co-OC and tight ends coach, something like that. So good luck to him. That was a good promotion for him. I don't blame him. We'll see how nice he is. I don't know. And then, of course, you got your DB coach. So I guess we'll address the elephant in the room. It was the rumor got out there that it was Surtain, and it was happening, and the ink was we pretty much was waiting on the ink to dry. And then I heard, nah, that is absolutely not an option. You had any insight on that one, X? I heard the interview didn't go well or something.
It was early interest, but it didn't pop off how it should have. And then again, you know, Mario, when Mario does his hiring, you know, he interviews a lot of coaches before he even give ideas or thoughts of what's going on. But, you know, the homie Surtain, knowing him a little bit, not a little bit, but knowing him, it definitely was interesting that it just didn't go the way that everybody thought it should. So I don't know who even bust out and said it on the timeline. I forget who they said.
Why I saw it too.
Yeah. And then, you know, once Mario sees something like that, he finna go the other way anyway. So that's why I'd be like, man, shut up. Like, let Mario do his thing.
Yeah, let him cook. Yeah. Like, yeah. Leaking news to me is always just like, so weird. Like, look at me. Look at me. Who cares about you? Sit down somewhere, man. Okay, yeah. You special. And I know Gabby had a list that had Surtain on it. I don't know where he get his info from. But another name on there was Jefferson. I don't know. Terry Jefferson, that's on staff with us right now, was coaching over at Jacksonville State, was coaching Zechariah Poyser. Now he's on staff with us. What's your thoughts on that one? Like, if that might be the move they go with?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think if you're going to go get you a coach that's proven. And I don't know how much of a proven coach he is. You know, obviously, Larry, me and you probably, if we had enough money, we'll throw this money in the bank. Go get DVD. You know what I'm saying? If we
go. Y'all already know. Y'all already know what I'm calling.
Go do anything, but yeah, I don't know if that's the route he wanted to go.
Well, he didn't do it with DVD, so that's why I'm like, why with Terry Jefferson?
Yeah. And then it sound like one of those cheap moves that we used to do back in the day. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Somebody on the staff already.
So my opinion on it, well, with Jefferson, right? Because, you know, when he came back, I looked him up. When he was at Jacksonville State, his whole DB room was all conference.
Yeah.
And they all went P4.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, they all went to big time schools. So yeah. I'm pretty sure I think he can get the job done. I get it. Like, most people are like, y'all go get a big game, big name. But I'm more of the fact that, yo, we got Will Harris, you know what I'm saying? We got him at the DB room. Bring Jefferson, you know what I'm saying? Like, as far as continuity and development and all that other type of stuff, he doing what he do. You know what I'm saying? I don't think you necessarily need a big name at DB coach because of the recruiters on staff. Like, come on, like, I don't get it. We hired the tight end coach. He was a damn grad assistant. So why we can't hire Jefferson? Like, make that shit kind of make sense to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, Woody, nobody heard of him. And all of a sudden, he's a tight end coach. Man, get Jefferson a job. Let him, you know what I'm saying, build it up. Obviously, I think Will Harris is probably, if not this year, probably next year, he's probably off to the NFL himself. I don't think Miami's a you know what I'm saying, like, the spot for him. I think he has something else in store. But, yeah, man, just give Jefferson, let Jefferson coach the cornerbacks and keep it moving, man. Like,
that's exactly why I wouldn't hire him, because I'm like, okay, if Will Harris leaves next year, do I trust Jefferson to coach
the room? Yeah.
But the thing is, we already know that they're gonna bring in another safety. Like, how the defense is set up, two D line coaches. The linebacker coach is also the DC, and then you'll have two DB coaches. So I think you're going to hire another DB coach anyway, even if Will Harris. Now I can see them going big time in that safety room. Like, as far as a safety position, I can see them going big time or whatever. That's what I would look at. I personally would probably look at Ed or somebody like that. But I can see them going big time in the safety room, because I'm like, the names I'm hearing, if it wasn't Surtain, like, outside of that, it's nobody really else. I don't care about somebody from Oregon who was only the coach out there for 1 year. Like, we don't know him. Like, I don't care. Like, we don't know who he is. Yeah. I don't want that dude. You know what I'm saying? If I'm not now, if you go get Nick Monroe, which you probably won't, but if you go get Nick Monroe, like, I don't have a problem with that. Like, I think that'll be another damn good hire if you go get Nick Monroe from Minnesota. I mean, he coached with Heatherman. We didn't get him last year, but you might can, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how good Minnesota going to be. And I'd be like, hey, man, you know, go ahead, jump on that train. Look at these killers I got in this DB room, because you lost your best DB to Oregon. So,
yeah,
I mean, who knows?
Yeah, that's a good point. As far as Ed go, man, Ed not coaching no college. I don't know. I don't even know why he was playing with that Bethune-Cookman shit. Ed might take his ass on the NFL if he gonna coach. And Mario they're not gonna get on like that. He just said Mario won't work dog shit out of Ed. Ed ain't finna be with that shit, man. See, if he be the head coach of Bethune-Cookman, he can set the tone for all that.
Yeah.
But if he gonna come work for Mario, that shit ain't gonna work. He wasn't around when he was the czar or whatever he was.
And Larry, and that's why I say, like, Jefferson, he knows the expectation.
Yeah, the expectation. Nah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't like. And then with Surtain probably out of the fold, he probably was like, hell no, I ain't trying to. How he work, he ain't trying to do that shit. A lot of these coaches ain't really trying to do that shit like that. You got to get, if you do go, like I said, Jefferson, up and comer or somebody like that. But nah, man, like, just, you know, whatever.
Well, out of, you know, we went over some names before. Out of those three positions that we were missing, well, actually, no, let me say something real quick before we go there. So the other thing is, there's rumor we could lose one more staffer. Can we speak on that?
The strength and condition coach, well, he's gone. It's Bennett, Coach Bennett. Well, yeah, he's
gone now? Okay, yeah, I missed that. I was looking for news about it. I did not.
Yeah, the dude went to the Giants, right?
Giants.
Yeah. We had one of the guys. He went to the Giants.
It's not the main one.
Nah, okay. I thought I was talking about that. The head strength and condition. He still was.
Coach Bennett, he ended up going to the Giants. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Now we end up losing the main one. Then yeah, we got to start.
Yeah, Irvin Young. Yeah, Irvin Young.
Yeah.
But he home though. So it got to be an offer to blow him out the water for him to want to leave home and go somewhere else, unless it's the NFL.
Okay, so the name that we was thinking about before, I was thinking was Irvin Young. It wasn't ever Irvin Young. It was the guy that did go to the Giants.
Yeah, it was Bennett. It was Bennett.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So out of the positions that we do have to fill, which one of y'all think is the most important? Tight end, running back, or this other DB coach? Like, which one is he can't miss on?
I would say
DBs.
Yeah, I would say DB. Running back and tight end, man. They pretty much, like, we've had tight end coaches for numerous different years, and I tell you, either our tight ends are good or they're not. That's, you know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
That's fact. And we tight end you.
Tight ends, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You get you a good running back, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you obviously need a good coach also, but, you know, running backs are running backs, you know what I'm saying? They've been running the ball for their whole life, so they should know the holes to hit. The only thing you need to do is teaching them how to block schemes and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm going to go with DB. DB, I think, need that safety coach. Yeah, definitely need that safety coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I agree there. I would go probably DB as well. We haven't ever had issues really with running back. I spoke on before. We always kind of we get talent at running back. Obviously, varying levels. You know, you got, you know, higher level NFL guys. We haven't had, you know, like a first round NFL guy in a while. But we've always had NFL guys as far as running back goes. And then, yeah, as you put it perfectly, a tight end, it's just been we either have a great year or what the hell the tight end year. Like, there ain't been no in between. Oh, actually, speaking of tight end, we didn't get a chance. We was wondering why Cole McConathy came back. Remember, we spoke on it and
like him.
And I was like, yeah, but I just don't know where he's going to fit now on this roster. Cole officially flipped over to tight end. What y'all think about that move?
Smart.
I like it. We need a blocking tight end.
Yeah.
And we didn't have one, and you can see it this year. Like this last season, you know, like we used to joke about old man, right? And he, I think I saw him in the picture with the Patriots now. He's working with the Patriots. Yeah, he was staff over there. So yeah, that's what I was pulling for the Super Bowl because they had the most hurricanes. By the time you add up staffers and players, they had the most hurricanes. And as a 49ers fan, you know, fuck the Seahawks. So there's no way I'll pretend. I hate cheering with the Patriots to win, but I was like, hey, you got to do what you got to do. They got smacked, though. But, yeah, and you can see the difference in our run game missing that blocking tight end like that. We did not have that consistency, especially out of 87. He couldn't block a punt. Let guy walk right by him. That, again, probably calls us that fucking game. So I think great move for him, man. He's got the frame for it, you know, and again, I don't think he's going to be a big pass catcher tight end. We'll find him. We'll throw a couple of them to him, I'm sure.
Go back to his high school tape. He was real athletic, like really, really athletic.
Right. You
know? He has the capability.
He what, 6'5", 6'6"?
Yeah.
6'5". 250.
He got capability, but we all know, you know, being capable and actually doing it is it'd be hard for some people, man. It's a good move for him, though. You know what I'm saying? Because he want to play. And defense end, he just wasn't gonna play because they keep bringing in talent after talent after talent. You know, hey, sometimes
yeah, you gotta just, being out recruited, which gotta be right.
Yeah, my opinion is. Yeah, it's good for him, but he'll be in the portal next year. Because my thing is, you came here to be a DN. You got flipped because you were just looking for some type of playing time. But I don't even think you're going to play this year because you got Lofton back. You got Gilbert as your number two, and then they're raving about the freshman from Colorado, Gavin Mueller. They're raving about him because he's already 6'5", 250, 255, and now he's in strength and conditioning. And all he's going to do is get a little bit better at his natural position. Now you have to adjust to right. Trying to block and do all this other type of stuff. So what'd you say, X?
I say, don't forget a new coach coming in. So
I got it. Yeah. And it's a new coach coming in, but I just think like the first two, maybe three positions are locked down. And then like after that, you might be
blocking tight end in that situation.
I think in that situation,
you're not gonna trust a freshman like that. Typically.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, your three is I would say you got Lofton, but he's more. I mean, H-back. You can tell.
Gadget, right?
Then you got Gilbert, who's probably your more of your receiving tight end, but he has the size and all that stuff.
Yeah,
he can
block. Still a blocker. Yeah.
And then, like you said, that third spot is kind of open, but like I said, he's gonna have to learn the tight end position where they don't have to do that. So I think
at the collegiate level, at least.
At the collegiate level, yeah.
And he probably played like some tight end or something back in high school.
Too. Yeah.
I'm saying Cole. It's probably Cole, played some tight end, I would imagine. You know, especially in high school, you play both ways unless you have one of these big time programs. I can see a path to what you're saying, but I can also see a path where he ends up finding a home. Again, because it's not the most glamorous shit either. Like most people want to do more than be a blocking tight end. When we had Cam McCormick, he's an old man. He just want to keep playing football. You know what I mean? And I think he knew it was over after college. So he kept playing, he kept playing. So he wanted to play. If you got the attitude for it, he could possibly shine. just because I think he'll bring some veteran savvy, some old man, you know, older guy strength to the position too. I think he could go one or two ways. I wouldn't necessarily put him in a portal after this year. We really just got to see if he could carve that role. I think, I'll put it this way, I think it's important for him to take that blocking tight end role. If he's going to do this, like, it's got, he got to go in and take it immediately.
Yeah.
And, yep. If that don't happen, then yeah, then it's clear that he's going to transfer.
87 was god-awful, boy. Gosh, boy.
Even Dirt Check. You know what
I'm telling you. And he was trying to come back, and they denied him. Thank God.
I think we would have denied him, be honest with y'all. Let's talk real quick, brother. You want to look at this play here for me real fast?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. You get it? I think we should part ways, right? We got to get into nothing ugly. So what you saying? I want to talk about the targeting possibilities. What would you say, D-Rob, most important out of those spots to hire up? Catch me.
Say it again. I can't. I'm sorry.
No, you good. Now I said, what would you say is the most important out of those spots?
You could go DB, but I'm gonna go against what y'all saying because y'all already picked it. I'll say running back. And the reason why I say running back because I want to know what type of the coach that's bringing in as far as what are you going to teach these guys as far as ball security, blocking, and all that type of stuff. I think the worst probably running back coach we had was Kevin Smith, I think it was. I thought he was going to be better than he was, but he wasn't. Merritt surprised me. I ain't going to lie. He was better than I thought. His rotations kind of could have been a bit better, you know, as far as rotating and who in comes in what. So I want to see what we do there. Usually at running back, you usually just get a guy who can recruit and, you know what I'm saying, just throw them out there and let that position or the tight end position be like their first position to coach, like, on a staff. So I want to see what they – I think that's the most important position because you got to think about it. You have – you got Fletcher, you got Brown, you got Lyle, and you got Pringle. That's four pieces. Like, how you – yeah. So it's like – how. Yeah, so but it's hard to mess it up, but somebody could. You know what I'm saying? Like we don't know. So it's been times where other players should have been in the game, and we were like, "Yo, like why isn't this person like he not in the game right now? Like give him the ball." You know what I'm saying? So that's for me. I'll go running back. I'll go running back.
That's what's up.
And we've never had like a superstar like running back coach. You know what I'm saying? Like we've had the star DB coach, and you know what I'm saying? Like, even at tight end, who we had, who do we have? I mean, we had like a guy like Larry Scott, Coach Phil. We had guys that were actually pretty good. Yes, Phil,
don't ever mention that guy named Larry Scott.
Ooh. Larry Scott,
I don't think he was a bad tight end coach for us.
I didn't like Larry Scott going now.
He's the head coach at Howard. He's the head coach at Howard. I don't think he was a bad tight end coach because that's what we had in Joku and all them. So I thought it was okay.
Well, man, tight ends is either they good or they not. Listen, we've been tight end used since Bubba Franks and them back in the day. So it's like it don't matter who coaches tight ends.
You just gotta get that talent in that room.
That's it. Just get you a title.
We'll see. We'll see. So we'll wrap with this real quick, man. So they looking at it's nothing official. They're talking about changing the targeting rules. Where you would have severity, right? Yeah. So it'll be kind of like in basketball where you got a flagrant one or a flagrant two, right? So essentially, you would have the targeting where you would still get the 15-yard penalty, but they wouldn't kick you out of the game.
You won't get ejected, yeah.
Yeah, you won't get ejected. It'd still be a 15-yard first down.
It basically goes back to how football was before they got soft.
Yeah, you get a roughing the receiver.
Yeah.
Essentially, right? you know, and then they get ones where I guess they'll just decide they're egregious, and then you got to get ejected. Now, my question is, I like the concept, cool, because, you know, you still want to keep player safety at the forefront. I like that. I don't see an issue with that. But how will you determine what
which one is which?
I think that's what we still gonna be mad. I think they're gonna hand out.
I don't think you can in football. Like, a hit is a hit. Like,
it's tough, right? It's tough.
Yeah, a hit is a hit. It's hard to say, oh man, that was intentional, or that was. I mean, you know, a defensive player, when they in the heat of the moment, they, you know, ain't nobody's thinking about, oh man, I can't hit him, because if I hit him, I'm gonna get a flag. They like, man, listen, I gotta make this play for my team.
Do you think you can make the call? Like, if you was looking at the tape, could you be like, yeah, now that was some dirty bullshit?
I mean, okay, so you have some where you see a guy just coming in with his helmet, and then he'd be like, yeah, he just get him out of there, because he's not even playing to the rules of the game or stuff like that. But yeah, it's hard. Like, it gotta really be like intentional, where a guy just don't care. He just lunge at you with his head.
And I think you would see, if they implement this rule, you would see a lot more of the ones where it would just be the 15-yarder. I think there's times I can see sometimes where I'm like, yeah, I was fucked up, dirty ass play right there. Now you really, I could tell you went to hurt somebody, injure somebody, you know, versus I want to hurt you. Now, that's part of the game. I want to hurt you so you don't want to catch the football no more, or you don't want to run to my side no more. That's the, you know, nature of the beast. You're supposed to do that. But then, yeah, I think I can look at a play and go, now you really trying to get somebody injured, bro. And that's a different thing. So,
yeah,
in principle, I like it. I just know they gonna fuck it up still if they decide to go forward with this.
Of course,
they gonna fuck it up again, just like with replay. How many replays we see where it's like, what the fuck are they looking at? And they come back with a different decision that everybody, the announcers, everybody's going, oh yeah, clear as day, fumble right there. Yeah, this should take no time. You know, it'll be Texas ball. And then they go out there and they talk. And it's like, the ruling on the field is the player was down. You're like, what? You know, I think you'll see the same shit happening with these targeting calls. I would like them to at least put it in there, though, because we would have had Xavier Lucas for the first half of that game. I'm quite sure of it. And would that have made a difference? We don't know. We still competed the whole game. I'm not saying that's why we lost. But it'd have been nice to not have guys kicked out for half a football over a rough hit. Like, sometimes it's just going to be rough. I don't know what to tell you. Football's a rough game.
Supposed to be, yeah, ain't supposed to be soft. Right?
Yeah, Larry, we win that game if Lucas played that first half, man, because I think the coverage is definitely would have been different. As you can see, like, we played a lot. We had 24 playing off. A lot in that first half, and they, you know, they got a couple first downs. And I think if they would have had Lucas, I think we probably would have locked, man, because they didn't have the speed. They didn't have the outside speed for us, man. And I think that, I think it would have been totally different. But I mean, like I said, almost a month and a half ago, I'm over it.
Yeah, if the Smiths, you know, we had opportunity to win that game. So,
yeah.
But either way, what this could possibly do is take those questions away. And I think that's fair to the integrity of the game. I will give the refs this. I feel like they've done a lot better job at picking up targeting calls over the last, I would say, definitely last season or even season before. Remember last year they wanted to target it on Mendoza on West on the same. And
Yeah.
It was a little bang bang, but like ultimately, I think of the targeting. No, was I shocked they didn't go ahead and keep it a targeting? Hell yeah, I thought for sure. You know, especially with it being Miami, right? We say we don't get no calls. Like, we get some. Because that right there, typically, especially with the game in the balance, because, you know, we get that. They get that targeting call. They keep the ball. And that could, yeah, the game could be over. So, I will credit them with that. And I want to credit the ACC. It's the only thing the ACC do good to me is you can have the listen-ins as the refs are doing the reviews. That's the only thing that they do better than everybody else. And I think that shit should be mandated. Like, everybody should have to sit in there and say, everybody can hear, all right, what y'all talking about back there? Because this is some bullshit. Otherwise, they do feel like, you know, somebody paying this man to tell me this ain't no damn fumble, or, you know, the player was down, or, you know, he wasn't out of bounds, and you could see half his foot sticking out of bounds, you know. So I think I got to give him credit for that. We'll see, man. We'll see. I think everybody's for it. It's just, will the execution be where we want it to be? Time will tell. We will get an opportunity soon enough. But anyways, all right. Shit, man, with that, we're going to get up out of here. Appreciate y'all pulling up.
Peace.
We out. Peace.
Peace.
We're going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.